Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you from the depth of our heart. Thank you for everything. Thank you for who you are, and thank you for what you do. We love you more than we can express. You mean more to us than we can put in words. But we thank you. We're most grateful. Thank you. Thank you even for the services. Thank you for yesterday. Thank you for today. Thank you for how blessed we are already. If only we shared the grace and went home now, we'll be blessed already. We are most grateful. We don't take anything for granted. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us once again. Thank you because beyond eloquence is that this comes as the word of God. Thank you because it's not a jot more, not a jot less that will be said. Thank you because your hand is upon me to speak, and your hand is upon us all to hear, in the name of Jesus. All the glory belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm more conscious of time tonight than Pastor BJ is, which is very strange. It's a strange occurrence, but that's the way it is tonight. And because I'm conscious of time, I'm growing. I'm growing the Lord. So I'm learning many things. I'm learning to speak as he instructs to speak, according to 1 Peter 4:11. But there are certain people also who teach, like he says, I teach. But I see that I'm doing a lot more of what Kenneth Hagin would call prophetic teaching. So I don't teach systematically, per se, anymore. I teach by inspiration. But I also do other things by inspiration. So yesterday was one of those times. I don't remember any time I ever prayed and just prayed for one condition, in quote, or one symptom. But that's what I believe God wanted me to do. So also tonight, I wanted to just ask one or two people who were healed yesterday and wouldn't mind telling us what God did. Just one or two, that's all. Were you here? You were online. Please come. Just one or two. I believe that there was something specific God was after yesterday because I battled with him. And ordinarily, I would just have said, everybody who was sick, just come and let me pray for you. But he said, call out only people with pain. And I thought, if we called everybody, pain would be included, Abby. But he said, call pain. And that's all I did. You know, and close. Thank you.
Praise God. I was online yesterday and I had waist pain. Thank God it's gone.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I think God was trying to tell us something with that one, isn't it? That when you're online, be serious. Because God will come through, the airwaves to reach you. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, just one more. Just one more. Anybody? Or the online got it, the offline didn't. Is that so? Is that so? Are you thinking about it? No. Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Okay. So a couple of days back, I've been having this side waist pain and my leg pain. And yesterday, I actually wanted to wear heels, but I couldn't. And after the prayer yesterday, I was just like, better. And I decided that, okay, today I'm going to do that. Praise the Lord. I wanted to wear heels yesterday, but I could not. So I just...
Wow. Hallelujah. So God is fashionable. Is that the lesson again we learned? Amen. God desired that she could wear her heels. Hallelujah. You know, but God actually wants what you want. Amen? God wants you blessed. God wants you happy. God wants you to, you know, whatever you desire, he wants to do for you, as long as it's not wrong. Can I have an amen? He wants you to enjoy your life. Hallelujah. So God blessed her. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 2. I have just a few minutes. Luke chapter 2. And if I don't finish, we have tomorrow morning. Amen. So Luke chapter 2. You know what? I I think over time now you'd have discovered I have a standard way of speaking. I read the text. And I read the text so that you know that I've read the Bible. I've laid down what primary anchor scriptures there are. After that, I can go anywhere. You know, but that's why I do that. I've learned to stabilize myself by first reading the text. And then I'm ready to fly in any direction. Hallelujah. But Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, verse 52, that's the very last verse. He said, and Jesus increased in wisdom. Thank you. I think you've given me more volume. Thank you. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor. Can I hear you say in favor? With God and men. Okay, go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs the 13th chapter. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. Are you there yet? Okay, the Bible says good understanding gains or gets favor. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Let me also salute again Reverend Lurumbi. Good evening, ma. Good to see you. I just spotted her again. I needed to do that. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. So tonight I want to talk a bit very quickly on how to or increasing in God's favor. Can I hear you say increasing in God's favor? So basically all of this weekend we're trying to establish the fact that the favor of God is what you need, really. Okay? Do the best you can. Work as best as you can. Gain all the knowledge you can. Gain all the skill you can. Be the person you can, the best that you can. But rely on and expect the favor of God to work for you. That's what I spent all of last night speaking about. But that favor is God's plan for your increase. God actually doesn't like the fact that you will be able to sit back and say, I got this by myself. You know, when people talk now, they say, I'm a self-made man. God despises that kind of statement. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, Gideon was going to go to battle. And they had men. He had men of war with him. And God looked at him and he said, Gideon, the people that are with you are too many. They are too many for me to deliver the Midianites into their hands. He said, because they are going to say that it's because of their might. They are going to say it's because we are able, we are capable men, and there were thousands of us. That's why we got it. God says, so we're going to do something. We're going to start reducing that number. Now, I'm trying to remember the number. You remember the number? They were 20,000? They were 30? No? Yeah, 10,000 went back first, isn't it? Anyway, they were about 20,000 or more. So, if you look at Judges chapter 6, I've forgotten the exact number. So, you can imagine thousands in that number, okay? So God says there are too many. And God was going to reduce the number. And guess what he reduced it to? 300. God reduced it to 300 men going into battle. Why? What was his intention? He said it from the very beginning. He said, I don't want the number high enough so that you don't get confused and think that it's because we are so good, we are many, and we are able. That's why we won the battle. So he whittled it down to 300. When you win with 300 men, you know that God got in somewhere. Are you still with me? He said something similar to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And he said to them, you know, when you get to the land, and the land is yielding, you know, it's full of milk and honey and all that. He said, don't forget that it is the Lord that gives you, verse 18, power to get wealth. That is, don't ever think, don't get there and start saying, we got it by the might of our hands. He said, but remember, it is the Lord that gives you power to get wealth. One of the biggest problems we have is that people forget. People get to places, get to levels in life, and they start talking. They start bragging about how good they were and all of that. And there are many good people around. In fact, the scriptures tell us the race is not to the swift. Neither is the battle to the strong. You know, so there are many people who could as well have had this or had that. If you have anything at all, it's because God helped you. Are you hearing me? The Bible says that there's no one who has received anything. Or there's no one who has anything that did not receive it. So why then do you talk as if you didn't receive it? In another one, he said, now don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift, every means what? Every, without exception. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Psalm 44. So in Psalm 44 also, which Pastor BJ referred to while we were praying, he said from verse 1, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you what? Planted. So he said, something was happening to others. You drove out the nations, but them you planted them. The very opposite. Are you hearing me? Our perspectives need to be right. Very often we are not seeing what we should be seeing, you know, even in the dark periods of our lives. I've had calls to tell people, they'll tell me this, that, oh, that one is wrong. And I tell them, you know what? One of my favorite phrases is to say, it could have been worse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It could have been worse. Because it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. So there is something working for you. That's why you were not consumed. Means that you were completely overwhelmed and taken up and destroyed. So the reason why you are still here to complain is because God's favor is on your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And why did God still hold you back there? Because to him that is joined to the living, there is hope. So God still held you back to say, hey, there's still a future. You can't go like this. You can't be destroyed like this. There's still something ahead of you. Are you with me? Back to Psalm 44. So it says, but them you planted. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out. Four. Okay, verse 3 is the emphasis. It said, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, the light of your countenance, because you favored them. So basically it was describing what happened to the Israelites when they came out of slavery and how God was uprooting places, nations, and he was planting them. Now, there were battles, but he said it was not their sword that was winning the battles. It wasn't them really doing it, even though we could see in the physical that they were fighting battles. It looked like they won the battles. He said, but it was not really them. It was God's favor. Look at your neighbor. Say, it's not really you. It's God's favor. You know, years ago, I think it must have been, about 1999, or is it year 2000, we came here. Yeah, 2000. Huh? 2002. Yes, 2002. Okay, I was mixing up some events. 2002. We came here. We had been saving money. We were meeting in Bodija. We were in the big queue of my mother's house. And we're meeting there. We were having fellowship. Then we had church lunch, 2nd July, year 2000. And then we saved money and we said we were going to move. So one day I was driving, I went looking for venues. And I drove on that main road, saw one building down the road, looked at it, I wasn't satisfied. Then I asked somebody, another, I says, come around here, it looks like there's a place. So I came here and I saw this building. I felt, well, it looks like this is good. So I came in, as I walked in, the building had just been renovated. I walked in, I asked for the agent, and he was the one I was talking to. So I spoke to him, I introduced myself, and I spoke to him, I said, we're looking for a venue and all that. And the man said, well, what do you want to use it for? I said, church. He said, okay. I said, how much? Then he told me how much it was. Of course, 2 years, agent's fee, legal fee. All the money we had saved was not enough for 1 year. Not to talk of 2 years plus whatever else it was. You know, but then all that is history. This was, two sides. So face me and face you, the wall starts here in the middle. So the other side was where we had for auditorium. We made this side offices. So later on, you know, after somehow God had raised the money, actually I went back, I called the leaders and I spoke to them. And I said, I saw this place. I believe that's where God wants us to be. You know, and he said, oh, how much is the rent? You know, and I told them. Actually, what I've been saying in my heart is that I know it's the rent that we tell everybody that we are not ready. You know, so when I said the rent, they said, yes, let's go for it. Ah, I said, okay, I think God is in it, you know, for sure. So anyway, we got the place. Now, some time down the line, the man was telling me, I'm talking about God's favor. Are you hear what I'm saying? Some years down the line, the man said to me, that's the agent. He said to me, he said, you know, that day when we saw, and you asked for the place, and I asked you what it was going to be used for, you said church. Then I asked you how you were going to have church in the place, and you said we're going to knock down the walls. He said, and I said yes. He said, I left and I thought to myself, why did I say yes? He said, because other people had come. And I said no, because they said they would knock down the walls. And you said to me up front, we will knock down the walls. And I said yes. He said, I went away. I was wondering, why in the world did I say yes? Let somebody say favor. So everything that would have stood against it was removed. That's what favor is all about. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what favor is all about. It means that the things, the obstacles, the things that you thought were impossible, suddenly become possible. They become what? Possible. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, one day some years ago also, I was doing a proposal. We did a proposal. We submitted at the office. And when we submitted this proposal, the lady who was in charge of it, it was to an international institution. The lady in charge of it wrote me. I said, Doing, you know what? If this thing, if you can bring the cost down, I mean, we were just a little over the limit. I don't want to say figures. We're a little over the limit that she was talking about. She said, if you can bring it below that, I will sign it today. I will sign it now. She said, but if you leave it like that, I'm not saying that you won't get it, but I have to take it through my board and all of that, and everybody has to review before it can be done. So I called my team. I said, sit down. This team will reduce now, this night. We will reduce it. But I thought to myself, that's the favor of God. That she will tell me that internal secret and say, my signing limit is this. If you only, and all we needed to shave off was just a little amount of money. He said, if you shave that little off, I will sign off on it. But if you keep it that way, it's okay. But it might take you a while because I have to pass it through several levels and layers, but I can sign it myself if you reduce it now. Are you hearing me? That's how favor works. So I tell my team, I said, look, you need to believe God. You need to believe God in all that you do, because she didn't hold me that kind of information, but she did. Are you still there? Now, our text says to us that Jesus increased in favor with God and with man. So the interesting thing is that it means that it's possible to increase favor or increase in favor. It means that there is a way I can live, or there are things I can do. It's not totally up to God, you know, like many of us have tended to believe that this is just my destiny. You know, that is just my destiny. But destiny is actually a function of what God has in mind and what you do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Destiny is a function of your ability to cooperate with the will of God for your life, because it's just a derivation of the word destination. So you are going to arrive at a destination depending on your ability to cooperate with God's plan. Are you still with me? God has a plan. Can I hear you say God has a plan? The Bible says that he is counseled by his will in Ephesians chapter 1. He said he is counseled. He follows the counsel of his will. Meaning that if I am going to get anything done, I need to figure out that will. That's what he says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says we ought to walk circumspectly, not as fools, finding out. Can I hear you say finding out? So finding out what the will of God is. Are you still with me? You know, that will of God is so strong that it applies to every single detail. I encourage people to pray about everything. That's what the Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 3, isn't it? He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all, can I hear you say, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. One says He will make your path smooth and straight. So in all of your ways, acknowledge Him in everything. You know, as I said, I was remembering one day, I've been driving this car. And I was coming from the office. And as I drove and I was going home, I just felt, this car needs to go. And I got to the house and I packed, I went in and I told my wife, I said, I'm not driving that car again. I'm selling that car. That car has to go. Ask me what was wrong with it. Nothing. I said, that car needs to go. I said, I'm not going to touch it again. It needs to go. And then I phoned somebody. I said, please come and pick up this car. I want to sell it. So he was in Ibadan. He picked the car up. He brought it to Ibadan. And the next day he called me. He said, doctor. I said, what? He said, what was wrong with that car? I said, nothing. He said, I couldn't start the car. He said, I tried everything. He's a mechanical. He said, I struggled and struggled and struggled to start the car. So I said, I didn't even ask him what happened to the car, why he wanted to sell the car. Nothing. I just knew I needed to wash my hands off that car. Are you hearing me? I think it was Copeland or Jerry Duplant, Jerry Savell that was talking about him buying a car. He said when he went to buy the car, he knew within him that's not the car you're supposed to buy. He said, and he bought that car. He said that car gave him nothing but trouble. It was always one trouble or the other, one trouble. He said, until finally he repented. This was just a few weeks. He repented and said, God, I know I got it wrong. He said, I'm sorry. And he took the car back to the dealer. He said, sell it. I don't want this car anymore. That this car gave me all kinds of trouble. So the dealer sold the car. Said he then asked the person who got the car. He happened to meet the person. He said, did that car give you any trouble? The man said, not once. That car is the best car I've ever had in my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I hear you say the will of God? So when you tap into that, our main thing, our main purpose in life is to find out what God has in mind for us and how He wants us to live our life and just cooperate with Him. Are you still there? So Jesus increased in favor with God and man. Meaning that as He walked, as He lived His life, He pleased God such that God's favor was increasing. Can I hear you say increasing? So there's a way I can increase. Proverbs 13 tells us that good understanding gains favor. Meaning that one of the ways I can increase is that I need to know. I need to have good understanding. One calls it good sense. Another translation says good sense. If I have good sense, and if you wish to call it good spiritual sense, then I can increase in my favor with God. Are you still there? The spiritual things can be learned. Spiritual things, you can grow in them. So even now that I was making some of the explanations I was making and all of that, is so that you can grow along with me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you can grow along with me. So sometimes I minister, I do things and I tell people, oh, this is why, this is so, this is so. So that we can grow along together. We can know God better. Are you still there? So because the number one thing that will help you is an increase in your knowledge of God. You want to increase in favor with God, you have to increase in your knowledge of God. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's just as it is, you know, with anybody else, that if you want somebody, you want to walk with somebody, you want them to like you and all of that, you have to know the person. You have to know the person. You have to understand the person. You have to know what they like. You have to know what they don't like. You know, I once worked for a doctor in this city. And he was, one day one of the only longest surviving staff who was not medical or anything. His clinic was attached to his house. But the only staff who was everything was worked in the house, worked in the clinic, and had been there for a long time. Asked me and he said, doctor, how are you able to work with this man for this long? I said, what do you mean? He said, nobody, no doctor has worked with him for this long. It's not as if you work, he used to have a bigger place, he downscaled. You know, but it's not at that point, it's not as if you walk with him every day and all of that, but at least he will call people whenever he needs to travel somewhere or he's going out of town or he's going for meeting somewhere and all that. He will call somebody to stand in. He said, nobody. The faces change a lot. They can't walk with him. He said, how are you able to walk with him? I said, I understand him. He's an Oyibo man. He's a Nigerian. No? I said, but he's an Oyibo man in his approach. He doesn't like all this familiarity. You know when we greet, what they say in Yoruba land is what? If you greet somebody, good morning. They say it's cold. You can't say good morning. Just say good morning, and then you walk past. They say you are cold. You have to start, say good morning. How was your night? How is home? How about your children? Have they gone to school? Very good. Say you have light in your area. Everything is fine. Then they say, it's a nice person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, there are different things we do. Somebody came from South Africa in my office. And then she asked me, said to me, this place is very strange. I said, what happened to you? She said, the gate man was asking, how was my night? Said, what does he want to know? I said, it's been very nice. It's been very nice. Are you still with me? So I said, look, the man is not Yoruba like that. He's Oyibo. There's no how was your night with him. You understand? You have to stay in your lane. That's the way he operates. I said, so I knew that about him, and I operated that way with him. I will run his clinic for him for 1 month when he will go for his annual holidays abroad. I will be there for 1 month, and then when he arrives, he will tell me exact dates. The way we will not tell people when you are arriving, you know, so that they will not bring down your place. He will tell me the date is going exactly. He will tell me the exact date is coming back. He will tell me the driver will come and take the car and come and pick him in Lagos. He should get to Ibadan that night. So I knew exactly everything about his movement. But if he arrives early enough and I'm there in the evening, and I know that the driver has driven him with him, it's just next door. But there's an adjoining, gate, small gate I can walk through and just see him and greet him. I will not greet him. I finish, I enter my car, and I go home. And I will not show up tomorrow. Because I know he's back. I'm not going to be back tomorrow, and I will not call him. And I will not show up again. Until after about 5 days or so, he will call me. Dr. Dubanjo, I'm back. I say, welcome, sir. He said, thank you very much. I say, yes, sir. He said, so when are you free that you can come and we can settle, accounts and I can pay you your money? Then I'll give him the data, we'll come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Good understanding gains favor. So he liked me very much. Are you still there? The more you know God, 2 Peter chapter 1, the more of his favor you can enjoy. He said in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power, just let's stop it there. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Of course, if you look at the Amplified, it talks about grace as what? God's favor. It says, may grace, that is God's favor, and peace, which is his perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you in the full personal, precise and correct knowledge. In the full personal, precise and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So your full personal and precise knowledge of God will help you to increase in the favor of God. Are you there? One of the, I like the song, and I thought they were already spying on my notes when the choir was singing, and they say, oh, Lua, oh, Lua, oh, Lua. There are many ways you can see favor described in the Bible. You see when it talks about the hand of God being on somebody. Okay? And two books that I particularly like for that are the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. I know they are not your favorites. Are you there? But I like both of them. They speak about the hand of the Lord. Okay? And basically, and every time he speaks about the hand of the Lord, most of the time in those two books, he's talking about favor. How they got favor. Because the hand of the Lord was upon them. How they got favor from people. But what I like about it is that Ezra was a scribe. A scribe was somebody who dealt with the law and the keeping of the law, which is the scriptures. Okay? So Ezra talked more about the fact that the knowledge of the word of God increased the hand of God on his life and enabled him to be able to get favor. Okay, let's rewind a little bit. Now, what happened and what those two books are about is that they're about two leaders. Okay, one was a scribe, one eventually was a governor. Okay, two leaders who had been captured because the whole of Israel had been captured and they were taken, okay, into a strange land. And they went to the king to say, we want to go and rebuild the land that you destroyed. Are you following what I'm saying? We want to go back to the land that you and your forefathers destroyed. Not only do we want to go back to build that land, we want to collect everything we will use to build that land from you. Abi? That's Ogboju. You need favor to get that done, isn't it? We want to go back and rebuild the place that you burnt down and you destroyed, and we want the resources to do it from you. And the Bible will say that the king gave them all of their requests according to the good hand of the Lord upon them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The king gave them all of their requests according to the good hand of the Lord. Meaning that the king himself didn't even know why he was doing it. The king was signing off on it all. Signing off on it all. Okay, done, 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 done. But he had no clue why he was doing everything. But it was the good hand of the Lord upon them. So whatever increased that good hand is the thing that is increasing the favor. Are you hearing me? So let's read one or two scriptures. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. And maybe I will stop on this one point and we'll find a way we'll tie it all up tomorrow. Okay? Ezra chapter 7. Are you there? Look at verse 6. Ezra 7 verse 6. Oh no, what did I do? Ezra 7 verse 6. Are you there? It says, this Ezra came up from Babylon. And he was a skilled, can I hear you say skilled scribe? He said, this Ezra came up from Babylon and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him what? All his requests according to the hand of the Lord is God upon him. He was a skilled scribe. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15? Study to show yourself approved. What does approved mean? Favored. Abi? Study to show yourself approved unto the Lord. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He was a skilled scribe. So as you spend time in God's word, the hand of the Lord increases and the favor increases. Can I have an amen? Look at verse 9. 9 to 11. He said, on the first day of the first month, so when he was now going back, he began his journey from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. You know, so it's that favor of God also that preserves you on your journeys. Are you with me? For about a year, I worked in Oyo, and I'll go from Ibadan to Oyo almost every day, except if I had to sleep there once or twice a week. And I would go in. And those days, there was a lot of armed robbery. I don't know about now. On that road. I'd go in. I'll come back. I'll go in. I'll come back. Armed robbery. I'll get to the hospital. People were late in the emergency room. You know, and the people would be asking me, which way did you take, Dr. Jubanjo? I said, it's this way. They said, but look at the people. Look at what happened on that road. But I went. I came back. I went. I came back. I went. I came back. It was the month after, there was another doctor we used to go together. I never saw anything. I would see the impact of whatever was happening, but I never saw it. It never happened in front of me or to me. The month after I stopped going, the doctor that sometimes we would drive together, that is, he would drive his car, I'm driving my car, but we'll be going together on the road, was attacked on the road. Are you still there? Said on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, for he prepared his heart to do so, and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. You know what else I remember? One day, first I tried to fly an airline. I tried to fly this airline, Abuja to Lagos. I got the ticket. In fact, that day, which is very also very unusual, I was on my way to the airport when I just said, look, I'm just going to buy anything. Normally, I have a ticket. I know what I'm doing. I know which airline I'm getting on. I said, no, I'm just going to get an airline to take me when I get there. So it was while in the cab to the airport that I was searching online, and I saw this airline, which I wasn't used to. I never used it before. And I said, no, the reputation is good. They keep to time and blah, blah, blah. So I called and I bought the tickets just before I arrived there. Somehow it began to rain heavily that night. The flight, apparently they said, arrived in Abuja, couldn't land, went back to Lagos. And then came back around midnight. By which time I told them, no, forget it, I'm not going with you. There's no way I'm going. I mean, I will end up sleeping in the airport in Lagos. I can't go home. I said, so forget it. I will go back and sleep here. I'll come back the next morning, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so I had this thing on my mind. So another time I told them in the office, I said, buy this airline for me. That's the one I want to fly. And then we was me and a few people. We got on this plane. And as it began to take off, everything inside of me was revolting. And I said, something is wrong with this plane. I said, God, I'm sorry. If you told me and I didn't hear, I apologize. I said, have mercy on me this one time. I said, but I will not do this again. As we landed there, I picked my phone and I called the office. I said, don't ever in your life, ever, buy me that airline again. You know, and that was the end of that matter. Everybody who would talk to me and ask me about it or mention, oh, I came, I used this airline, I said, don't. They would say, Abla, I said, don't. Including my boss. I said, sir, don't use that airline. Stop flying it. And then the airline crashed. I mean, crashed. One of the major crashes we had. The first thing the man said was, you told me. You told me. I said, yes, sir. I told you that don't use that airline again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What's that? The favor of God. I'm not an aircraft engineer or anything, so whatever sound I may think I hear is not. I mean, I didn't say, oh, don't do it. I said, don't ever buy it for me again. What made me make that decision? The favor of God. Are you there? Mm-hmm. He said, but how does it work? Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of God, and to do it, and to teach the statutes and the ordinances. So he took God's word very seriously. Now, go very quickly to Nehemiah. I don't want us to have to spend a lot of time on this next time. Go to Nehemiah now. That's the very next book. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. So it says, so it was, when I heard these words, that is, they sent a message to Nehemiah and said, look, the temple, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, the gates are burned with fire, everything is just down. He said, so it was when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying. Can I hear you say fasting and praying? He said, I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And then look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad? Since you are not sick, this is nothing but sorrow of heart. He says, so I became dreadfully afraid, because you are not allowed to be sad in the king's presence. I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad? Remember, these are the people that destroyed the place. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? Then what did he do? He said, I prayed to the God of heaven. Are you with me? I prayed to the God of heaven. And verse 7, he says, so he asked the king, he said, then the king asked him, he said, send me so that I can go and build the place, and I want to rebuild it. Then the king says, how long? He gave the king a time. Verse 7, he said, furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they may permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king did what? Granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. What am I trying to say to you tonight? Anything you do that increases your knowledge of God, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm studying God's word, it increases the good hand. Can I hear you say the good hand? It increases the good hand of God upon you. And therefore it increases the favor of God upon you. It's not a waste. Your pursuit of the knowledge of God is not a waste. Are you still there? If you are staying up all night and you are doing your own night vigil and praying in other tongues, and praying in other tongues, and fasting, say, I'm fasting tomorrow, I'm fasting on Monday, say, now you kill Jesus, leave them alone. Are you hearing me? That's what is increasing the good hand of the Lord upon you. And that good hand of the Lord upon you is what will make even the people that are the most unlikely people do you good. Even without knowing why. Let me stop it and just stop on this story. Lester Sumrall, who is a man I like very much. Late Lester Sumrall. He said he had gone around, you know, ministered in the U.S., blah, blah. God sent him to the Philippines as a missionary. He went to the Philippines, started a church just in the city of Rome and all that, and then God sent him to minister to a demon-possessed lady who was on national TV. Can you imagine that? Demon-possessed girl on national TV. They had locked that all up somewhere, but anybody who came to her, and she was upset with them, if she cursed the person would die. So she was national news. He said, so one day he saw it on national news, and God said, I want you to go and pray for her and deliver her. So he had to get access. He spoke to people, he fasted and he prayed. And he got access. They gave him access. He said, we don't allow people to go there, blah, blah, blah. And he went there and God delivered that girl. So the church exploded. He said once the church and every church around exploded, churches were full all over the place. Revival broke out. And God told him, go back to America. He said, because if you stay here, the people will start worshiping you. He said, go back to America. So he packed his things again and just left. Returned to America. Then he went and he was, you know, planting a church. He was planting a church and there was a sinner man who had a property opposite the place. And then while they were trying to build, you know, and all of that, the man would stand there and be laughing at him. Preacher, what are you doing? Well, we're building the Lord's house. Continue. You know, the man will laugh at him and make fun of him. He said one day he arrived at the place and the man walked up to him. He said, hey, preacher. He said, what? He said, how much do you need per week to do this work and to keep it going according to your plan? And he told him the thousands of dollars they needed. This is how much we need to do it. The man said, take me to the bank. He said, and he carried the man to the bank. And the man withdrew money and gave him, take, build. He said, and every week, the man will take him to the bank and withdraw the thing and give it to him until they finish building. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What you need is the good hand of the Lord. What you need is the favor of God upon your life. You know when he says that the raven came and was bringing meat and bread for Elijah? The raven is a bird that is very stingy. It's a bird that does not share. It's a stingy bird. But the raven will carry bread in its mouth and will not eat it and bring it to Elijah. Carry meat in his mouth, he won't touch it. He will bring it to Elijah and he will return twice a day doing that. There's nothing God can do. What we need is God's hands upon us to be stronger. What we need is God's favor to increase. And if you pursue the knowledge of God, God's favor will increase upon your life. Let's stand on our feet. So I think it's straightforward what your prayer point should be tonight. It's to say, Lord, I'm going to be a God chaser. I'm going to be a God chaser. I will pursue you with all of my heart. I will chase after you. I will pray. I will fast. I will study the word. I will increase in my knowledge of you. Because grace, your favor increases according to the knowledge of God that we have. Say, Lord, reveal yourself to me more and more. More and more and more. More and more and more. More and more and more. I want more of you. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More of you. Say more. Anybody, you have an issue with your sight, I believe it's one. Hearing, I believe it's one also. Just put your hand right there now. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because you blow right through this room and touch. We command healing. Wholeness. By the power of God. And in the name of Jesus. Wow. Wow. Wakabayakala boshtabrahane. If as you don't pray anymore, if as you just receive it, I can sense that power of God coming on you strong. Just receive it. Don't pray, just take it in. Malaka boshtabrahane sobrokoborostebredishtabahane. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mighty touch, your mighty healing. Thank you for creative miracles even. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you. 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 If I were you, I would tap into it for anything else. I would tap into it for anything else. I would tap into it for anything else. Bobo Nshe is the power of God. Does it all. Especially if it's not a call and people have to come out, I will just tap into it for everything else. Whatever I need, I will just take it in from its presence. Thank you. 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 God told me years ago, he said, just give me a little time after you speak. Give me a little time after you speak and let me do things that I want to do. Yeah, very good. Just keep it that silent, that quiet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your touch. Thank you for your mighty touch. Thank you for your mighty touch. Thank you for working things out in our lives. That only you can. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes it's instructions. Sometimes it's visions that he gives people. You just begin to see things. Sometimes it's instructing them. This is what you need to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.